Hello and welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is a father-friendly, father-focused space to empower fathers and father figures to strengthen the connection between their children and themselves. I am your host, Seamus Gordon. Let's dad up. All right, so happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to the Dad Up Radio Show. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I want to welcome a special guest that we have in the house. But before we do, Charles, it's a new day, my brother. It's a new day.
How do you say it?
1,440 minutes each day and deposited into our time bank.
And it's the best day ever.
And it's the best day ever. Man, welcome. It's nice to have you on board on this wonderful Tuesday.
Wouldn't want to be anywhere else right now.
Today we have a special guest, and I say a newfound friend.
All right.
I'll tell you a little bit about how we actually met and how our path crossed, and I believe will continue to cross. But let me just welcome Pastor Jerome Ryan. He is the founder and CEO of Workforce Discipleship Center. My brother, welcome aboard, man. Welcome.
Pastor Gordon, thank you very much for the invitation.
Oh, my goodness. So, let's talk a little bit here. Charles, you didn't even know all of this, man.
You continue to surprise me, man. I have to go with the flow.
So, one of the things that we do, the father-child connection, actually, the main thing we do is to empower fathers to establish, reestablish, or maintain the connection of dads and their kids. It's vital. And sometimes, in order for that connection to be established or reestablished or maintained, a dad has to do something drastic. Recently, we had two dads who moved from out of town into town because they wanted to be near to their children. And to me, that was and is a sign of commitment. They didn't move necessarily to be with mom, even though that's a possibility. But they each has, two children each, so four children in the neighborhood. And these guys, one of them was in Tennessee, one of them was in Clearwater. And I have been communicating with them via Zoom or FaceTime or on the phone, and occasionally they take the train or fly down here to see their children. But we were struggling to find two major things, my brother. One, employment. Two, affordable housing. And God so worked it out that both of these gentlemen came down for an interview. I had the privilege of driving them there, and they got the job right on the spot. So we checked that off, and we said, yippee. But then the yippee didn't live very long because we said, where are you going to live? And it was while we were on this show, our producer, Dave, mentioned you to me after the program to say, call this brother here, because you have an amazing service to the community. And I want you to tell us more about it. But let me tell you, Charles, what got me excited. One of the brothers came in. One of the dads came in. We interviewed him.
Michael. Yes.
He is now at the establishment that you, God laid it on your heart for however many years, and you'll tell us long. So both our fathers are there having a place to live. Man, I want to say, my brother, thank you for what you provide. And I foresee us being able to work together because, again, if we're going to empower our fathers to be in their children's lives, they need the resources. They need the basic tools in order to, one, be safe and whole before they can be of any real benefit to their children. So with such a mouthful, I wanted to tell me a little bit. Tell us about the vision God gave you several years ago. I saw that place yesterday. I deliberately went because I wanted to see it. And Yeah, let's go from
well,
there.
May 5th, 1995, the Lord gave me the vision to build the Love Center. It was one of the first long-term Christian-based recovery facilities in Fort Pierce. So we opened, it was assisted by Dunklin Memorial Camp. Mickey Evans was my pastor, and they, when I shared with Mickey that God gave me the vision for the city of Fort Pierce and to take that city block and to convert it into a Christian-based drug recovery prison health care and reentry ministry, Mickey came up that following week and did the Jericho walk around it 7 times, he and Bob Crow, his assistant.
Oh, wow.
And from there was history. God basically gave me that block by the Dixon family. Vernon Dixon and Kelia Dixon gave me that city block for pennies on the dollar.
Actually, it is a whole city block.
Yes, it is. Not I just, remember seeing.
Yeah.
And so they bought into the vision. And, you know, God gave the visions and stated that this would be a lighthouse for my kingdom. I saw the major crisis that we were going through with drugs and alcohol, and being one who had been clean at that time for about 4 years off of drugs and alcohol. If you're going to, as a saying says, when the home structure deteriorates, society crumbles.
Mm.
So if you're going to rebuild America, you got to rebuild the home. So God gave me the vision to work with men. My first resident was a woman, not a man. And to make a long story short, just this past October last year, the Lord led me to move in a new direction and build upon the shoulders that are already established in what we've done almost 29 years at the time. So we decided to establish a new mission, workforce discipleship, which is affiliated with the Love Center, and providing temporary housing for the working class homeless for single men and single women. We're a faith-based mission offering a discipleship program which includes a daily devotion, financial literacy, and mentoring. We've partnered with Graceway Village, who provide most of the meals for 3-4 days a week. They provide meals for us. Mustard Seed Mission, they provide the financial literacy component and provide clothing for our residents. And City of Fort Pierce was one of the founding partners, where they donated close to $1 million to the Love Center to build the 13th Street and Avenue I facility. And then the county gave us over $100,000 some years ago to build the second location, which is the economic component. So it was a holistic approach to drug recovery at the time. Beloved brothers, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants us to work on the heart, the hand, and the feet. So, you know, faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. So we had a holistic approach. And today we provide housing for the working class homeless, people that are working every day, who are living in cars or on some friend's couch. So that's our target, people that are working, the working class homeless. And there's a great, great need out there. We have, when you look at statistics, we have amongst the youth, we have the largest population of youth homelessness in the country, not the state, the country. It was in the newspaper
the country,
the USA. St. Lucie County has the largest population of homeless youth in the country. Wow. When I read it, I had to reread it because I kept registering in my mind the state, and I kept reading the article. It says, no, in the country, per capita, we have a major issue. So this is not a local issue as much as a global issue. So we're thinking big, moving it small. We're eventually going to renovate another facility, and we're going to expand our bedding. At the end of the day, when the other 3 buildings are done, we'll have 20 beds for women, 20 for men. It's a small infraction on a major issue, but hey, we do what we can with what we have.
I can't tell you how much of an answer to a heart's cry your facility has been for these 2 dads that moved into town. And let me clarify very categorically, they're not recovering from drugs and alcohol. I can tell you that personally. I'm working with them. But initially, that was the primary. Even though you are flexible, you so long
today we're no longer doing drug recovery. We refer people to Planter Seed Ministry, to Dunklin, to Faith Farm. We're no longer a substance abuse training facility. That's another area of care.
All right. So I'm so glad you clarified that. So these two dads who have moved down from out of state, from up out of the county, they are dads who want to do the right thing. They just need to be empowered. The old cliche, give a hand up, not a hand out. Mm-hmm. Charles, you as a dad and somebody who even fostered, yes, you know how vital it is to have a place to call home, even if it is temporary. It's clean. It is safe. It is homely.
Yes. And I was very proud of the fact that my wife and I were foster parents. And the dynamics of our lives have changed a little bit, so we're not fostering right now. But it was such a joy, even though it was tough. Because when you get children coming in from situations, first of all, they're being taken away from their homes and they're being moved in with people they don't know. So that was in itself was tough. But to be able to share our home with someone that needed a home and to get them and watch them over time become more trusting, become more comfortable. Not that we were trying to take them away from their family. They had to be separated for a short amount of time. And we wanted to make that separation as comfortable as possible.
I sociologists and all the great minds in the social work field, they will tell you, man has a basic need, every human being, a place to
food,
live.
Water, shelter.
A shelter. It is one of our basic needs.
Yes.
I find it fascinating. I think I should ask for a refund. So I go to college and I learn all these things from these wise guys, Abraham Maslow, his hierarchy of needs. I go back to Genesis. I'm saying, hold on a minute. It's here. God created a place first for Adam and Eve, safe for them to call home. Jesus himself, I'm gone to prepare a place for you. I mean, like, you need somewhere to live. A place to live is at the core of a person's sense of dignity and yes, and belonging. And you, Pastor Jerome, you are being used by God to do that. And I want to say thank you, because quite honestly, I was scratching my head. They didn't know that I was scratching my head as to where am I going to recommend for these two men to live.
Personally, I understand the value of secured living environment, especially in a time of need and struggle. What God bring you through is what he called you to do.
And you have been
many
there.
Don't know my story. I was raised by parents who were pastors and musically involved all my childhood life. But my parents went through a crisis in their marriage my senior year in high school. And there I was. My dad was going through a crisis, and caring about me and my younger brother was not his focus. Surviving the separation of my mom put his life in a tailspin. And I had a friend of mine who's like a brother to me, Larry Lee Jr. The Lee family took me in as a senior in high school. And if I had not stayed there, I would have not finished school. And I was in survival mode. And so the home environment they gave me then has become my motivation, and is a part of the vision God has given me now. It is my motivation has come from being in that situation. And I know what it's like to be vulnerable and not having a support system. And they gave me the support. And today I'm doing 45 years later what was given to me as a senior in high school.
Man, paying it forward.
Yes, yes, sir.
I want us to talk about the criteria for getting in. So let me just go back a little bit here. you have all seen ducks or swans swim. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just glide across the pond so effortlessly. Until you look underneath, they're like doing this like crazy. Something is happening. So I was appearing all calm. Guys, you get a job. But I was panicking. Where am I going to recommend for them to live? And even if I did find something, where were we going to get the first, last, and security? Because they just started Monday, yesterday. Mm-hmm. But you don't do that, ideally. But you allow...
I meet people where they're at. You know... I understand. I've been in real estate business for 43 years. I bought my first property at 20 years of age, and I'm about to tell my age.
That's all right.
Yeah. And I understand that when I bought a property 43 years ago, my down payment was close to $4,000, you know, and looking at that time, a deposit, rent and security would probably have been somewhere around $1,500. Today, first, last, and security, if you're talking about a $1,400 a month apartment, you do 14 times 2, that's $2,800. That's first, last, and then you talk about security. So the average person who's struggling is not walking around with $3,000, $3,500, $4,000 in their pocket. Right. Some of these places, $2,000 a month, you're talking about first and last $4,000 down with security, you're talking $5,000. Well, with those numbers being of such, people are not able to reach those numbers because they don't have that type of money to deposit it in an account. So what happens is they have substantial incomes. They got the cash flow to make the payments. They don't have the down payment ability to get into these places.
And it becomes a vicious circle.
Now, you got to have good credit. So you're basically taking rental properties and bringing them online in similar classifications as buying a property. So what we're doing is lowering the bridge, and we're bridging the gap between ability to pay a weekly rent and not having first, last, and security. So we meet them where they're at. They come in, they got jobs. We let them pay 2 weeks in once they move in. So you remove the fear of deposits, security, and all of those things. Now those people can have some sense of dignity because you've created some upward mobility with having a nice, our facilities are very nice. Mm-hmm. They're not hand-me-downs. Mm-hmm. So I just put brand new flooring, windows, and all in one of these buildings. So we're doing very quality work, and we're all about upward mobility. You want to help these people build their self-esteem. I mean, these are women and men that are just struggling. They are humans. They're hardworking people. So we've created an environment that supports a sense of dignity for these individuals, and we're thinking of big, moving it small, and we want to do more of this and hope that we can be a model for other missions because we as a church have to do more. And missions doesn't really become a burden to a church as much as it becomes an asset. Mm. Because over the years, my work with the drug addicted community, substance abuse, homelessness, and prison reentry, those missions have not cost me. Those missions have carried the mission.
Right.
Because I approach it from an entrepreneurial perspective, and as worse, I make the individual responsible for their recovery. I make the individual responsible for their reentry back into mainstream society. So the Bible says, "If a man don't work, he don't eat." So I'm not going to violate scripture to help a person. Everybody's not handicapped. Mm. So for the few people that we run across that are handicapped, 10% of the people that I take in are people that can't normally do what everybody else do. But 80% of the people, 90% of the people that come through my door, they have to be able to do something because my goal is to help them help themselves.
Man.
I'm not trying to carry them. I'm helping them help themselves. And so what we do, we give them the tools, the intellectual insight they need in order to advance to the next level. You train people. The difference between training and development is training has all to do with learning a system and memorizing it. Development has to do with creativity, is learning how to think. learning how to use your head. I'm challenging people to learn how to think.
Speaking of that, I find it fascinating that after God made Adam, hey, use your head. Could you name those animals for me? I mean, I find it, Abraham Maslow might call that self-actualization. That's an old thought. God knew it long time. Come on, self-actualize, Adam. Use your head.
God has given us a hidden command to increase, to multiply, to become more. So all we need is to be challenged.
To be challenged. I want to say more, and I want to ask more. But if this were a commercial radio, we would say we're going for a commercial break. But we have better than a commercial break. We have D, G, J. That's God. Jokes. I didn't give you a warning. So probably after you hear his and mine, you'll think of one.
That's not a condition of you being on the show and coming back on
another
show.
Yes, it's for coming back. You have to come with.
So you're making me go up
first
sir. Again.
Set the standard, as you would say.
Okay. Why did the hawk always sit on the church steeple?
So why did the hawk always sit on the church steeple?
Yes. Because it was a bird of prey.
All right.
So he doesn't want to laugh. He tries not to laugh. See?
All right. It was a bird of prey. Well, you know how sometimes you live in an apartment or you live in a complex where you can't make too much noise. You can't even play your radio or your TV too loud because people complain.
Right.
Well, yeah. So I had a quiet game of tennis this morning. You know why?
A quiet game of tennis?
Yes.
No, I don't know why.
There was no racket.
Okay.
What? You're not
just saying okay.
Okay, Karen, you're laughing over there. So, do you have one? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
I don't have a joke you off the top of my head, but I have a little something I like to share. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a surprise. That's why God called it the present.
All right.
Yeah, kind of laugh about that one. That is solid.
That's better than our jokes, man.
Hey, Robert, we should come up with a dad's got a statement or a wise saying.
I got a few of those.
So for those of you who are listening and you're just tuning in, we have in the studio Pastor Jerome Ryan. He's the founder and CEO of the Workforce Discipleship Center. And we're talking because we connected and two of our wonderful dads are in his program. If you wish to support this Dad Up Radio show or the work that the Father-Child Connection is doing, you have three ways of doing so. Number one is with your prayers. We do ask that you pray for and with us. And then in addition to your prayers, we ask for your hours. We're asking for at least 1 hour per week to volunteer to serve as a dad tour for a child who does not have a father or a father figure. And we do ask for your dollars, your tax-deductible donation to help keep this program on the air, but also to help with the other things that we do in the community. For those dads to have come down, we help them with their fare and their Amtrak thing, fare to come down. But they got a job, and now they are moving. Could you tell us where you're at and how people can reach you at your...
Okay, our facility is located on the corner of 13th Street Avenue I. It is 907 North 13th Street, Fort Pierce. And I'll repeat, 907 North 13th Street, Fort Pierce. The phone number is 772-207-6925.
Repeat that for me.
772-207-6925. And our website address is www.workforcediscipleship.com. workforcediscipleship.com. If you go to that website, you can see interviews, reviews, television articles on the Channel 5, Channel 12, Channel 5, Channel 25 just did a special, and all of that is highlighted on that website. And our business plan, if you want to know more about how you can help, we'll show you our day-to-day operations. We're working to fundraise to support the day-to-day operations. And if you want to sponsor a bed, that opportunity is there. And, of course, those who would like to make a monthly pledge, $5, $10 a month. You know, cinch by cinch, we accomplish inches. So we ask the community to consider pledging $5 to $10 a month to help us with the day-to-day operation. And those who might be interested in helping us along with the renovations that we're getting ready to undergo, which will give us another 28 beds, we ask you to visit the website www.workforcediscipleship.com, and you can make an online pledge today. Some may be sitting with materials, building materials in your garage, in your backyard. We will come pick those materials up. We have some companies already have begun to donate materials. Got some construction companies. We actually go do the final cleanup and bring all the raw materials
back
to our place. So we define what our needs are. We're renovating three buildings, and we let you decide how you want to contribute to our cause. Non-monetary donations are accepted.
One of the things that I like about what you do, it's that it's like a river in the sense that there are always people passing through because it is transitional. So when these two dads from the father-child connection get their act together and their feet on the ground, they move on and they make space for somebody else.
We, as of next month, October, will be open 30 years.
Oh.
I've had 4,500 men to come through our doors in the 30 years. We are a pass-through.
Do you have a where are they now sort of follow up?
No. That is a very heavy investment to do. But unfortunately, when you deal with people that are homeless, many of them, as they move on and advance, it's like the 10 leopards. One come back.
Okay.
You get one that will come back. Right. Jesus didn't go search for the nine, and you can't either. It's very consuming.
Yeah.
So I focus on those who come back and share and celebrate what we've done in their lives. Most people that you find that fall on hard times, many of them spend the rest of their lives trying to forget about their hard times in the past. They don't come back and say, hey, you know, you helped me 20 years ago, and thank you for your contribution. I don't get those letters, and that's not good or bad, but it's the reality.
Yeah. Wow.
So I focus on what is in front of me. I don't look back.
I certainly look forward to partnering with you. I do believe that every county should have one of the workforce discipleship center. And again, especially those that are father specific, because men generally tend to have it even harder finding a place. But we're almost out of time, and I want to thank you so much for coming in. Charles, it is always nice to have you in the house. Brothers, sisters, dads out there, please continue to pray. Please continue to give. Please continue to volunteer. We live in a world that needs people who will give of their prayers, their hours, and of their dollars. We wind up by saying,
Dad up.
Dad up.
Dad up.
Thanks for joining us today on the Dad Up Radio Show. We would like to hear your feedback, comments, or suggestions. Also, if you would like to support us with your prayers, hours, and dollars, you can reach us at 561-229-2379. You can call or text us at 561-229-2379 or email us at dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org. That's dadup@thefatherchildconnection.org.